Hey everybody, welcome to the Midnight Frightcast episode number 94. This is your host, the Doctor of Filmonomics, Greg. How are y'all doing? It's been a bit. With me tonight is our Scream Queen. I'm going to catch her while she's drinking a beer. Can we get beer to come out of her nose? Maddie.
No, you cannot.
Damn it. We have the Doctor of Everything Else, Patrick.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And Josh, it's been so long, I can't remember what you were the doctor of.
I'm not. I don't have my doctorate yet. We had this conversation the last time you and I podcasted, and it was gonna we were gonna have this chat about what I could get my doctorate in.
Yes,
but I just feel like I may not be smart enough to have my doctorate, so I'll just be Josh.
No. I gotcha. Okay. And last but most certainly not least, we have Josh the intern.
The intern. I'll take that. Josh the intern.
So we're back after a long, long hiatus. If you happen to listen to our episode 93, we had a great little welcome back meeting. Just talking what we've been doing, why we haven't been watching movies, and most importantly, why we haven't been doing this, which we don't have any good reasons. Life just got in the way. But we're back. We're trying to get this kickstarted again, that Midnight Fright cast that you all know and love. And so we're just going to rock and roll right into it. We came up with a topic. We've been in communication, the four of us, and this topic has kind of surfaced more recently as more and more of these films have been being made. So for tonight's movie, we watched Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, a beloved children's character turned into a behemoth of a slasher killer horror. That was a terrible segue. I apologize.
It turned into something.
Yeah. It might be in the title there. But the topic that we wanted to cover along with this, because there are more movies very similar to this coming out, is children's characters that are becoming... shit, I had the word and I lost it. They're not trademarked anymore. Or they're not copyrighted.
Public domain.
Thank you. Yeah. They're becoming public domain, and directors are taking these characters and turning them into horror movies. Let's chat about that. Who wants to jump in? Somebody dive in.
Real quick, I'm just going to throw out some examples really quick. So over the last, since 2020, I mean, and it goes back further. They did this in the 90s with some films. They did this in the 80s with some films where they've just taken these horror film or these children's characters and put them in horror film situations. So, but just in the last few years, they've made, in 2021, they made a Humpty Dumpty horror film. They've made a Three Blind Mice horror film. I love the looks I'm getting already. They made Gretel and Hansel, which, I mean, that was actually on people's list in 2020 when that came out.
I did watch that as one of my 31 days, and it was purely by accident. I was finishing up one movie and didn't change it and popped into that, and I thought, what the hell, let's watch it.
Right. So, and everybody remembers Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark,
mm-hmm.
and where, like, that wasn't really for kids, and it was for kids, but, like, there were stories in there that probably were not four kids, what I mean? Like, it was dark, and they made that into a movie. For me, they kind of ruined it. There's a film they made that I watched for my 31 days of horror films, called The Mean One. Has anybody seen the cover for that? Due to licensing reasons, they can't call it The Grinch. So they made a film called The Mean One. He was referred to as The Mean One in the movie. But it's the Grinch. It's the Grinch who started just killing a grown-up Cindy Lou Who because he was angry about Christmas. And it's awful. It's terrible. And most recently, we all know that Mickey Mouse just became public domain,
mm-hmm.
and they made Mickey's Mousetrap.
There's a couple more that are kind of Disney-related that I did some research on. Bambi, The Reckoning.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. I
missed that one.
And then Peter Pan, Neverland Nightmare.
Wow. Those are public domain?
That doesn't sound like a horror movie.
Not Disney necessarily. Not the Disney versions of them, but the stories the books, themselves. Yeah. Like Bambi itself, I think, was Disney, but Peter Pan itself was a book first. Yeah.
Okay.
Taken off to Neverland Ranch with those kids. That's the true order.
Neverland Nightmare starring Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Too soon? Too soon?
Not at all.
My bad. Don't cancel me, bro.
But yeah, just a few examples, Greg, of what's come out in the last few years.
So it's interesting, and I had sent out an article. I don't even remember when I sent out the article, but it was talking about how children don't really have an outlet for horror anymore. And I say that with a grain of salt because horror and kids should not go together, but creepy stories, like you had mentioned, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was directed towards kids. One of my all-time favorite book series was Goosebumps. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know if anybody's seen the new Goosebumps series at all.
Really with Justin Long?
Really liked it, minus him. They actually did. I thought they did a really good job with it, comparatively speaking to what they had come out with in the 90s. But, you know, there's always that fun fact. Are You Afraid of the Dark was another one. There's always that fun element of how far can you push a kid's story or kid's content to being creepy, scary before it got, you probably shouldn't be watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing really like that anymore, unfortunately.
Well,
I think probably what's happening is the line between the media kids are consuming and adults are consuming has really like disappeared throughout the last couple decades. So I think it's kind of a waste of money to make a kids focused scary movie
mm-hmm.
when you've got like an 8-year-old that's like, Mom, I want to watch Saw 10. Like, why bother? Like, yeah. I feel like that line's just unfortunately, you know, kids are growing up a lot faster these days. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're exposed to a lot more. I feel like there's a lot of parents that just don't give a shit what their kids watch, and that's fine. But that's kind of why I feel like that's kind of gone away. It's just, as you said, why bother? Why bother making a kid's horror movie if, like, the only person that's going to watch it is, like, a 4-year-old? It's like Coco Melon, Big Bird Kills Manhattan, whatever, and then there's that. Like, why?
I mean, I don't know if you've watched Coco Melon. It's pretty horrific in its own form. I mean,
what the hell is Coco Melon?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I just see like parents like posting about it, and I'm just like, it makes me want to go have a second hysterectomy. I don't even know what the fuck it is, and I don't want it.
Don't. We started that, and that ended real quick.
Okay.
Coco Melon is a very, it's like children's animated thing geared for very, very young people.
But it's horrid animation. Absolutely terrible. Comparatively speaking. But okay, so yeah, there's that, but now you're starting to see a lot of production studios that won't cross that PG-13 R line for their horror movies. So it's like, make up your mind. Are you trying to bring in kids here, or are you trying to make a horror movie? Like, that was the biggest thing in the 90s, was there was a definite split of, this is a horror movie, it's rated R, it needs to live over here, or we've got some kiddie stuff that is scary, but it's not going to like give you trauma and send you into therapy for 40 years.
Well, they're just trying to make horror movies for the common public audience. That's what it is.
And I see that. I think that's what's screwing up horror movies now, is they're almost so scared that they're not going to make their money back, that they're reeling back the content that they could be putting out, or the lines that they could be and should be crossing to make a legitimate horror movie. Because they're more concerned about making their money back in theaters and in the releases.
I think the closest we've gotten to those 90s kids, for kids films today is, you know, most recently we got Five Nights at Freddy's.
Right.
Which was PG-13 and awful, but for kids, right? That yes. Kids played that game. It was familiar. They kind of knew what they were kind of walking into, and Spirit Halloween was also PG-13. Kids recognize that because it's the what I would call probably the biggest Halloween store
mm-hmm.
in the country, right? I guess those are just familiar things that you know, kids can you know, be more familiar with, and they can watch those. The movies that we're talking about, there's no way. You know, a kid might go on and see Winnie the Pooh and go, oh, mom, it's Winnie the Pooh. I'm going to watch this. And it's not, it's confusing, if right. I guess, you know?
I think there's a big separation there, because what we're seeing is things that are falling into public domain. And I could probably go to parents who have children that are in that age range where they would be watching, where we would have been watching Winnie the Pooh or Peter Pan or any of this stuff. And you can go to those parents and say, do your kids know who Winnie the Pooh is? And they're like, no fucking way. They have right. no idea. So these movies are actually geared towards people our generation.
Right.
They want to take the opportunity to take that childhood memory and twist it, which I fucking love the idea mm-hmm. of doing it. So, you know, at some point, are we going to see a Teletubbies horror film? God, I hope so.
Teletubbies is a horror film.
It is a horror film, yeah.
Because it was horror to begin with. But, I mean, even at that, my daughter is 27 years old, and she was the one who watched Teletubbies. Mm-hmm. You know, right. so I mean, at what point do we see something that is actually geared, that is designed for kids, specifically written for ages 10 to 15, you know, that type of thing? Do people do that? Or is that where Ghostbusters falls into that line? Is it going to be that soft horror for that age group?
I think that's what it's going to be at this point. And, you know, I think Maddie had mentioned that this kids are growing up way quicker than we ever did, given the amounts of media that they can consume in the day, the access to websites that they have. Like, I never watched the news when I was a kid. I did it when I had to. I barely read the newspaper, but you never knew all of the horrific shit that was going on any sides of the world. These kids can flip open their Facebook and see, oh, hey, Timmy Two Tone put out his fucking, I don't know what, and somebody blew up something and this happened. It's terrible. And I don't know where I was going with that, but how do you capitalize on that age range? And I think I read somewhere that R.L. Stine tried to shoot for between 8 years old and 11, because nobody had really captured that generation of children, and that's what he aimed for. Where do you, or how do you even do that anymore with and compete with Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and Snippy Snap or whatever the fuck social media app is out now?
I can't even think of a kid's show in the last 15 to 20 years that they can flip into a horror film, that they could take one of those characters and make them, again, I just don't know what children's shows exist in the last 15, 20 years, really, but I don't know what characters they could take and flip. I don't think beyond what we had when we were younger, you know, they could take those characters and flip them into a horror villain. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can, but I just can't. I couldn't think of any that they could do it with. The last one that we talked about was, you know, waiting for the Sesame Street horror film to come out.
I was going to say, I'd watch the Count horror movie.
Right?
Yeah. And Sesame Street's going to be, they're going to keep that out of public domain as long as humanly possible.
Yeah. Right. So.
Oh, yeah. I like this idea, but it's not being executed well, and we'll talk about that later.
We've got Apple iPhone generation 1 going on right now. There needs to be some better stuff coming along.
You know, the question it also kind of raises, and I know we've had this conversation before too, is because these kind of movies are coming out, is it just another like sign that we are running out of ideas? That we're running out of film ideas, horror film ideas, or are people just picking these up for nostalgia reasons, quick cash cow, familiarity, which that word I can't really say, but I tried.
My vote is the cash cow. They're so scared that they're not going to make their money back that they're trying to play on existing IP to at least make their money back on the film.
I don't know. I think I would jump at the chance. If I was given a budget and the opportunity, if I were to take a beloved children's character and just make them the worst possible character for horror possible, I would jump at that chance.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like it is fun. It's like, yeah, it is fun. It's funny and mm-hmm. It's going to capture people's attention because it is funny.
Maddie, I think you're hitting on a great point there that we should probably talk about when we're talking about Winnie the Pooh. Because you're absolutely right. It is funny and it should be funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I
should have thrown this out into the group before we started this, and I'll throw it out now, but I think it's something that we should have sat on and thought about. But what Disney character or what children's character would you have taken if you were given $100,000 and made it into a horror film?
I was literally just thinking that same thing.
And I can't think of anything off the top, which is why I would have been like, this is going to take me a little while to think about it. And I don't want to hold up. I don't want to hold this podcast hostage trying to think of like, ooh, which person would I fuck up? Because that's just what I feel like they're doing.
Well, there's so many Disney movies that are based on older folklore that is mm-hmm. really fucked up. Like if you go back to like the original source material for The Little Mermaid, Hunchback of Notre Dame, any Snow White, anything like that, it's mm-hmm. really messed up. It's these most of them are these like German fairy tales, and the Germans don't give a fuck about you, your kid, or your sensibilities. And so like if you just kind of strip away all the Disney magic from most of these stories, you'll have a horror movie.
Right.
Like well, you don't have to reach that far.
Yeah, most of the German fairy tales were told to try to keep children in line, to keep them to behave.
Cautionary tales.
It was to scare the shit out of mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, like I don't think you'd have to dig that far to make a horror movie out of a lot of these concepts. Really,
yeah, you don't have to change the base of the story a lot, you know? Hansel and Gretel was a horror movie, for God's sake, you know?
Right.
Or a horror story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, the original Little Mermaid is fucked up. Yeah,
Sleeping Beauty is, too.
Yeah, Cinderella's gross. Mm-hmm. Like, they're cutting people's feet off.
Yep.
Like, it's the original Saw. They are doing the most with that one. It's
Let's messed cut their up. Heels off to fit in a shoe.
If all these things start... And I would almost rather see that. If all these things are falling onto public domain, I'd rather them go back to the original instead of trying to come up with some shenanigan that they're doing. Because I just feel like the material's there. It would be easy. You could probably get a good story out of it.
So one that I want to throw out here, just because it just popped into my head, the horror movie that I would make based on Disney characters, Toy Story.
That could be a lot of fucking fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Make a good dirty movie too.
They can get what? What I miss?
Dirty what? Movie.
Gives a whole
adult movie. Toy Story. Buzz, here we come with Woody.
Woody, we found a toy in Amy's mom's drawer. We need to save it. He's so scared, he's shaking.
I'm going to throw out the line and try to reel it back in.
Say it was Josh Quick.
I was going to say something. You all like fucking throwing me off. I had something to go with.
Awesome.
And now I'm just like adult Toy Story. All right. Shit. Well,
so let's jump over into our movie.
Oh, real quick. Yeah, that's what. Sorry, Greg. I just thought about
it's
it
okay. because you.
So why do you, real quick? Why do you think they're letting these these shit. Now I can't think of the fucking word.
Why are you saying why are like Disney and these big companies letting these movies fall into public domain instead of
thank you, Maddie.
Copyright? You're welcome.
Thank you. I had a buzzing in my ear. I couldn't get rid of.
stay out of that drawer, Josh.
Why do you think these films or these characters are falling into public or falling out of public or into public domain? Why do you think they're letting them do that?
I think they're just not massively profitable or relevant anymore. Yeah. Name one kid that gives a fuck about Mickey.
and I think when you look at Mickey, it's not Mickey in general, it's Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
Mickey. Mm-hmm. So true. I think part of it, and any lawyer can correct me on this, but I think if they haven't actively worked on that character for X amount of time, that's when it falls into public domain. That's why Sesame Street is going to be safe for a while, because they keep using their characters consistently to this day.
Right.
They haven't done a Bambi movie in fucking decades.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Bambi itself is falling in. Peter Pan is because the book is in public domain.
Right.
Yeah. All the lawyers that are listening to our show right now.
Every single one of you lawyers who are listening.
So all the films that have been made into live action remakes, those are all safe because they've done something with that in the last 20 years or whatever it is, mm-hmm. 10 years.
Which no one asked for those either.
You're not wrong. Nobody did ask for
them. Nobody's asked for them. Exactly.
I'm just curious as to why so many of these things have fallen into public domain. And, somebody had to have an idea that the Steamboat Willie character was going to fall out real quick, because they just announced that. And that movie's coming out in like March or April, I think.
Yeah.
So somebody was already working on that.
And it was the same thing with Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. That once that was announced, that movie was announced almost immediately once public domain was declared on it.
Right.
But so much work into it. It's obviously took its time.
They obviously took their time.
The costumes were so realistic.
Well, since we're talking about it, Greg,
let's jump into our movie, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Patrick, do you have the deets?
I don't have the deets. Oh, my Lord. No. Hold on. Give me a second here. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, released in 2023. After Christopher Robin abandons them for college, Pooh and Piglet embark on a bloody rampage as they search for a new source of food. IMDb rating, 2.9 out of 10.
That's low.
Rotten Tomatoes score, audience score 50%, tomato meter 3%.
So I need to throw out a disclaimer. With us coming back and doing these, we are going to attempt to try and find movies that are above the 70% mark.
I'm not.
But won't promise.
We can't promise that. There's no guarantee there. But that's one of our goals, is to try to bring decent movies to review here.
I think it's okay to bring in
stuff. No, Maddie's bringing trash.
It is. And the only reason we were doing this was because we had a good topic attached to it.
Maybe what we could do is review something that's above 70%, and then have a section afterwards. It's like films to avoid.
We'll call it the Maddie Smash Cast.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
The what, Greg?
The Maddie Smash Cast.
Yeah, no, I'm bringing those twos. I'm bringing those threes.
Bring the heat. Bring the heat.
The fire. Any more deets, Patrick, on that movie? The tomato meters. It was made for $100,000.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Keep going.
Well, it made $5.2 million on a $100,000 budget. So we can all eat that shit.
That's painful.
Like it or not, whether we hate the movie or not, they made quite the pocket change for what they made it for. So
What did you say the gross was worldwide?
I saw it was 5.2 million.
Okay, that rings right.
Okay, on the $100,000 budget.
On the $100,000 budget, yep.
I mean, that's really the only deets I have, and I only wrote that down because it really pissed me off. After watching that movie, budget.
Worldwide,
$5.2 million
is not worldwide. It's not great. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey had no theatrical release.
Right.
Okay. And that was purely off of streaming, which was off of Peacock, which is not a huge streaming site for the world, I would assume. Okay. 5.2 million, I think, is pretty good based off of those.
You're absolutely right. 5.2 gross worldwide is not great for a movie. However, on a $100,000 budget with no marketing, that return on investment was amazing.
Yeah.
Guys, we should all be watching like the public domain. Like, we can knock out Cinderella. I mean, you will make a lovely wicked stepmother, Patrick. It'll be great.
And that's going back to that. I know Greg had to step out for a second, but that's going back to that familiarity. That's going back to that nostalgia. That's people going, I recognize the name. And whether it says Blood and Honey behind Winnie the Pooh, people are going to, you know, they're especially horror film fans that are in that age range that recognize that, you know, that character. They're, whether they watched 5 minutes of it or an hour and 24 minutes of it, they're going to click on that shit just to see what's going on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Good for the memes.
So, Greg stepped away. So, we'll hit him up last, but with that being said, you know, let's jump in on some thoughts and, you know, what we kind of, I think the people have an idea of what we thought, but let's tell them anyway.
Okay. So the biggest, what the fuck with me with this movie is Piglet and Pooh didn't look like creatures. They looked like grown ass men dressed like Piglet and Pooh. And I was like, is this what they look like when they were playing with this little boy? These grown ass, like playing with this little boy.
It was set up at the beginning when they're doing that animated drawing thing.
Right.
They said that they were crossbreeds.
It's gross. That's even weird. Gross.
But that's how they technically handled them being humanoids.
So someone fucked a bear.
Right. I'm not saying it's a good answer for it, but they did cover that in the opening sequence.
I feel like they could have done that a little bit better then and made them look more like bear and pig people, because just having them look like grown men in overalls was real gross.
Everybody watch your mouth, Maddie. Marcy's on the podcast now.
I know I have my mouth as well now.
Let's talk about that opening sequence though, because that was my favorite part of the film.
It was mine too.
If you watch, you know, the original Winnie the Pooh movies, they open with that kind of animated sequence with the map of the 100-acre woods and where Eeyore and Rabbit and all those live. If you go back, that's that again. They started out with something familiar that people that watched that show or that those movies when they were kids, they recognize this. So that they hit you in the face right away with it. And I thought it was a creative way to get into the story with Christopher Robin coming back from college, and he's grown up now and he's got a fiance, or he's married. I can't remember which it was. Bringing her back to introduce her to his friends, which I don't know how she wasn't like running for the fucking hills in the beginning of this. Like, I'm engaged to a dude that believes in an imaginary bear and an imaginary pig. I gotta get out of this thing, but good for her for sticking with it. I thought that was a great way to get into this, to introduce to those familiar characters, the 100-acre woods that everybody recognizes. But real quick, it turns dark, you know, dark real quick, you know, all the things that Christopher Robin recognizes is not the same anymore.
I had a little bit of trouble with the lore that once Christopher Robin left, their lives went to hell in a handbasket. How did they survive before Christopher Robin came into their lives?
Exactly. Like, well, and they're animals. Like, eat shit in the woods. You know what I mean? Like, you're part pig. Go, you will eat anything. People use food to get rid of dead bodies. Like, you're a bear. You're an omnivore. Like,
are we to believe that Winnie the Pooh could not find honey without Christopher Robin?
He can drive. He can find honey without Christopher Robin. He can drive.
Go to the store. Yeah.
Now, the other thing they cover, now, that because that opening sequence with the animation, it covered the crossbreeding. So that explained why they were humanoid. But they also said that they turned away from the humanoid part of their makeup. So they decided never to speak again, never to talk again. And I think that was a very cheap and easy way for the directors and the creators of this film to be able to have those horrific masks that the actors were wearing, mm-hmm. because they're basically just plastic and rubber, that there's no way in hell those mouths were going to move in a realistic way.
Right. The other thing I wanted to chat about, because we put this out in the group, was the fact that they chose to eat Eeyore. Was they chose to eat the most innocent, you know, quiet, kind of boring character, I guess, in, you know, the whole, out of all the characters, you know, they survived by eating Eeyore.
By the way, spoilers, everybody.
I mean, it tells you, it's not like, you don't have to get 5 minutes into that movie. It just tells you to survive, they ate that stupid donkey. That's what they did.
The slowest.
You know?
Couldn't run away. So, Tigger bounced on out of there. That owl flew off.
I mean, he lived in a stick house that had no coverage in it. You know, it was clearly the one that was going to be chased first when they were all starving. So, actually, I was a fan of Eeyore when I watched that show, so I shouldn't say that. But,
Eeyore represented the group of people that lived a depressed life.
Yeah.
Quite simply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of us with depression are getting eaten. Cheers.
But once you get through that opening sequence, like I said, which was my favorite part of the whole movie, which is sad because it's the first 10 minutes maybe of the movie, and then it kind of does that familiar, it introduces you to the new character or the characters that you're going to be watching through the movie, and it jumps into this whole like this girl that is seeing a psychologist, is that what she is, right? Psychiatrist, whatever,
a counselor of some sort.
And it's like, well, you should, you know, run away and go on a trip and you know, run away from all these problems, and you know, then it just kind of jumps into like that movie. And for me, I wish it would have leaned, this is gonna sound so stupid because like I shouldn't even care this much, but I wish it would have leaned more into Christopher Robin. I wish there was more Christopher Robin throughout this movie, because you have only two characters that represent the original, was it five characters in the Hundred Acre Woods? And then, you know, you take Christopher Robin out of that equation also. And it's just Winnie the Pooh by name at that point.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised how little Christopher Robin had to do with the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's like within the first 15 minutes of it, he is gone.
Yeah.
And then he can't resurface till later, and then he's missing for another 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
And then he comes in at the very end. Yeah. I was really surprised by that. And as I was kind of trying to prepare some thoughts for this conversation, one of my questions was going to be towards the end, how would you fix this movie?
And you touched better actors.
On it exactly, Josh, was make it about Christopher Robin.
Right. And yeah.
It really wasn't.
Yeah. You know, I feel like the five girls going, being sent off into like a girls trip, that is so overdone. It's like the start of at least like 57% of all horror movies. It's like, some bitch is sad and she's like, I need to go away. I need to break free. And her friends are like, yes, girl, let's go with you. And then there's some creepy guy. And it's like, how many times are we going to do that? First of all, women don't do that.
It's almost like taking five girls, sending them off to some, I don't know, camp.
Don't fucking say that.
And there was a pig in that one too.
Fucking character with a pig face chasing them.
Oh my God. And it's like, I'm sorry, like, women anymore, like, all of us are out here watching true crime podcasts. We don't do this shit anymore. We know we're going to get raped and kidnapped. We're not doing this.
I would put Pigface 2 up against Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey any day of the week.
Josh, I just, but I would justify the comment by saying when we did Pigface, we knew we were making fun of the genre, which is what would have fucking saved this movie if they knew what they were making. If they were making fun of the genre and the fact that they were using a children's icon to scare people and play with it and have fun with it, this would have been a good movie.
They would have Freddy versus Jason'd it. Oh,
exactly.
One of the changes I would have made though in this film was I would have set the whole thing and stuck them all in the Hundred Acre Woods for the whole movie.
The whole movie.
Because again, that location is, that's what that show is. That's what that movie is. That's where they live. And they go outside of that to find these people to kill or whatever. But if you would have stuck that whole movie in that one location and made that location as dark as you made the characters, it would have been at least a different, like a whole different feel, I think.
Or if you decide to leave the Hundred Acres Wood, it's because he's chasing Christopher Robin, because he's tracking him down, because he's doing that. But no, they made no reason to stay in there. And
they got back into it at the end of the movie.
At the end,
where there was the whole, I mean, and it showed like some dark scenery at the end of the movie, and when they got back into the Hundred Acre Woods. But if it would have been more, you know, tonally like that, I don't think it would have been, it wouldn't have been a great movie regardless, but I think they could have done some more dark things with it. I thought all the kills were weak as shit.
$100,000.
You couldn't come up with some better shit than they came up with.
I mean, the kills were not necessarily creative. I thought there was a couple that I had not necessarily seen before. The sledgehammer kill in the swimming pool, I thought was handled pretty well, because you don't really see it smash her face, but you see the hit and you go, oh fuck, that impact was really good. But then there was also some other things that were just completely unimaginative. And if you're going to be dealing with children's characters that are made up characters, that are fanciful characters, then come up with really obscure kills.
Yeah, come up with something.
There was a couple shots where there was a bunch of bees around Winnie the Pooh, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. You can do shit with that. And then, like, where are the bees? Where are the bees? There are no bees.
I wanted a honey death of some sort. Yeah.
I kept waiting for Candyman to show up. It was crazy.
Right? I was like, it seemed like they took another shitty, D-rated horror movie and just stuck Piglet and Pooh in there. Like there's no attempt to incorporate anything except for the little 10-minute little spiel at the beginning. It was just your typical horror movie. Five stupid girls in the woods and two big dumb guys chasing them.
You know, we talked about how, again in the group, we talked about how an hour and 24 minutes just seemed really long for this movie. They probably could have lost 20 minutes and it would have been fine. They probably could have cut it. And I know everybody wants like these run times. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these streaming sites require a certain amount of run time, so you got to put the extra fluffy bullshit in there. But there are scenes like that they had in this movie that was just full of useless fucking information that I did not care about at all. There was a scene where they're all sitting around in like this living room talking to this girl about like, you know, oh, that guy shouldn't have stalked you. And that guy who they never, ever, ever came back to, just useless information. There's scenes they could have cut out of this and could have made it 10, 15, 20 minutes shorter. And again, probably wouldn't have made the movie better, but it would have made the movie a little bit more, a little easier to sit through, maybe. There's a scene in this movie where the second time you see Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh is talking to him, and he's all like, "Pooh, why are you doing this? I took care of you." There's a scene in the background where you see Piglet like working out on a like little workout bike, and I was like, "What is happening here?"
They explain it later. The workout bike is to generate power because Pooh jumps on it later and the lights come up and stuff like that. So
gotcha.
They're using it to generate power.
So now they're electrical engineers? What the fuck is this movie?
I was like, why is Piglet working out? I was so confused.
He has time to go back and get his master's in that right. 5 years that Christopher Robin was done.
Honey and lighting.
Yeah. We got Greg back. Greg, your comment.
Everything that I would have said has been said. I definitely felt like Christopher Robin should have had more of a mainstay in this. The trope of the five girls going to a cabin in the woods. Seen it 4,000 times. Don't need to see it again.
Yeah.
Present company
excluded. And stop making them stupid.
Yeah.
Stop making them stupid.
Yeah. It was played out. It was tired. There wasn't anything exciting about it. Honestly, the one piece that I enjoyed about this was the vehicle, the car kill. I think was probably the better one of them.
I agree with you. Yeah.
But it still wasn't like upper echelon. It was just like, oh, thank God, something interesting to watch. And now we're done. Let's move on. It should have been a little bit more iconic, I feel, for what they did with it. And I'm hoping, knock on whatever, that Mickey's Rat Trap or whatever it's called.
Mousetrap.
Learns from, Mousetrap, the board game. That'd make for an interesting, sorry, side note.
I feel like they're going to make Mickey Mouse Saw. We all know it.
Sure. I mean, stick them in Disneyland and each ride is a different torture device.
So here's a question. So they had to have, one of two things. It's either a budget decision, or they had to have known they were going to make a second one. So why no Rabbit and why no Tigger in Winnie the Pooh?
And who are no huge characters? Or Kanga or Roo.
Or Kanga or Roo, right, yeah.
And they killed off Piglet, so the only two characters left from this movie is Pooh and Christopher Robin.
Right.
So you know they're going to be back, obviously. So are they going to bring those other characters into the next one?
I will tell you, if I watch the second one, which I probably will because I want to see what they do with it, if they do not have Evil Tigger and Evil Eeyore in it, I'm going to
throw Eeyore's out. Gone.
Eeyore's dead.
Eeyore's dead. Eaten.
He was eaten by Piglet and Pooh and probably Rabbit and Tigger.
Okay, they ate that one. So Evil Tigger. If Evil Tigger is not in this.
All right.
Well, did you see the character designs? They're there.
I'm looking ahead to IMDb for Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2. Piglet is listed as a character.
Flashback.
So flashback, maybe.
Okay.
Tigger is going to be a character in the next one.
Yes.
Young Winnie the Pooh.
Interesting.
Owl. I forgot about Owl completely.
Oh shit, yeah.
But I do not. Oh, Bunny Robin. Maybe that's just I don't know what that is.
Christopher Robin.
But those characters are listed.
I saw a character design, I swear, for Tigger and Rabbit.
Yeah, they do have character designs in their photos on IMDb.
Which are wicked, by the way. I feel like now they're shoving all those characters in. They're like, okay, we may not get a third. So let's get all the Winnie the Pooh characters in here. So we did it.
How are they going to explain why they were gone in the first one?
Well, Owl was probably teaching at a college at that point. So he was gone teaching and he just came back because he heard there was a murder party going on. So
I would too come back from college for a murder party.
Tenure professor murder party.
It's also interesting to note that Christopher Robin is not being played by the same actor.
I'm not really.
Which is probably okay with me.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense. He's kind of a generic looking white guy. They could probably throw whoever they wanted in there.
Does it give you a like a basic synopsis at all on IMDb, Patrick, about what has happening in this movie? No. Nothing?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
They're being super secretive about the Blood and Honey 2 movie that probably more people care about than should. Yeah. Honestly. But along with Greg, I'm gonna watch that movie. It's just like, out of curiosity, what do they do haven't done?
My only hope in the sequel would be they use the first one as a jumping off point. How do we get these people back to 100 Acre Woods? We throw five girls into a cabin, we slaughter them all for kill count, and we take Christopher Robin and Pooh into the sequel, and that's where something legitimate is going to happen. I'm putting way too much into that, but that's my hope.
Yeah. No, and it looks like they've completely redone, not completely redone, but redid the makeup for Pooh.
Could they have go ahead, Maddie.
Here's the thing with all of these that I am afraid is going to happen with all of these public domain coming back into the, like, being people being used. I feel like everybody is going to just rush to try to get these out before someone else does it. And we're going to all just have movies like this that are that aren't doing everything they could. They're not being creative with the stories. They're just like, sticking these characters in. Yeah, they're just like sticking these characters in generic forms because we want to be the first one. Because like, if somebody else comes out with Winnie the Pooh horror, like, no one's going to be interested. It's going to be done.
Unless it's done better.
Yeah, I mean, but like, you still don't get the same, like.
No, I get that. But I said, that's the only way you're going to make a name for it is you got to do it better than what's already come out.
You know, could they on those creatures, first of all, creature effects, you could do, you know, they've done way better creature effects just in, you know, movies and just in general that they could have done in this. Could they have done CG for creature effects? Could they have done something like they did with Banana Splits for creature effects? Could they have done something like they did like for Five Nights at Freddy's for creature effects? Could they have done? I mean, what else could they have done?
Right. When you say Banana Splits and Five Nights at Freddy's, are you talking about like over the top?
Okay, they're more like animatronic.
Animatronic. Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
But like, you know what I mean?
For the budget they had, there's no way they could have done CG.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Yeah.
Not good CG. You'd have like Shark and Saw Women's Prison Massacre CG and that shit.
Forgot about that one.
So I think they really tried to cover their asses with the way they opened the thing by saying that they gave up speaking English or speaking at all, just to justify the fact that their faces don't move at all.
Right.
In the character creation itself, it does look like in the next movie, with the makeup and the character creation for that, it looks like they've got at least moving mandibles on it.
They look like they, you know, they got it a little bit more right with the rabbit and the Tigger creature effects. They look a little bit more rugged. They're dirty. They don't look so clean. Like Winnie the Pooh looks so clean and just so flat. It looked like the Lego heads that you put on like the Lego people. It looked like that. And again, I don't know how far $100,000 goes because I have never had that for a movie, but like I can imagine that they could have leaned more into like where else did those effects go or where else did that money go if it didn't go to effects, in all honesty.
Set decoration?
They had a cabin.
But there Throw they rock, did, but they had a fucking the, cabin. What about the first? The
100 acres wood had a certain amount of stuff built for it.
Right. You know? Yeah, it's true. True.
I mean, that's the only place that looked like there was any budget.
Right.
Not the big name actresses and actors we saw in this thing.
Yeah, who was the lead?
Exactly. For what we saw, 100,000 sounds about right.
Yeah, I agree.
For what we saw.
Although, didn't Saw have a super tiny budget and they did good?
They had a really don't tiny start budget.
With me. But... Yeah, don't start with me, Patrick, or whoever is the Saw hater. Don't start with
I think Saw itself, with all of its flaws, and there are hundreds of flaws in that movie, I think for the budget they had, they did a really good job. But you also have to realize that it was three, possibly a couple more with the detectives. But it was right. really small cast and pretty much one location.
Yeah, it was very confined. But
they could have done that same thing with Winnie the Pooh. They could have had those, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 actors, which is basically, I think, what Saul kind of came out to be, with about 5 to 10 actors. And kept it in the 100 Acre Woods, one location, and because they'd already built it anyway, so why not use it more than they already did? And they could have kept it probably within that range and had better effects than they did. But
yeah,
what do I know? I make $4 films and they, you know, go directly to YouTube. This guy made $100,000 or $5.2 million on a $100,000 film, so he did something.
He better be putting that money back in the next movie.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they have to if they're gonna try to top what they've already done. I'm sure they have to. So, you know,
do we want to rate, or do we just want to let this one float quietly into the night?
I think we can 100% rate. You know. 100% rate.
I don't remember what our rating scales were, so if we just want to do an overall.
1 to 10? 1 to 10?
Yeah, because we used to do that scare scale and all that other. We have 3 different things.
Oh, yeah, the gore score and fear factor or something. Yeah, let's just do an overall.
This is the overall.
One out of 10. 1's the worst, 10's the best. Why does it get a 1?
I'll give it a 2. It's bad, and as I said, they just dropped 2 characters in another bad slasher film, but for the potential, I'll give it.
And are you looking forward to the sequel, Maddie?
I'm not watching that, and if we have to watch it on this damn cast, just remember everything going forward is in person.
Maddie's coming armed to our next cast.
I am. I had to pay $3 to stream this movie. I'm going to beat it out of one of you.
I'll get you back on that one.
Yeah, I would have gone like 3.5. I would have gone a little higher. I don't remember what the ratings were on IMDb. I don't care that much, but I would have gone 3.5 for this. Again, with all the problems that we just chatted about, it was, I think, worth that much. So just me.
I'm probably good with 3.5, maybe 4. I'm going to give them credit where credit is due, in the sense that they took the chance with this movie. They really took a chance. They fell on the wrong side of success, in my view. But they did take a chance with it, and I think there's potential there. Had they embraced the humor in this, I think they could have had a much better product. Josh, you asked if Maddie would be watching the sequel. I think I will, just to see if they learned anything from the first movie.
Mm-hmm. And I'd also be curious to go back and see what else they've done. That's on their IMDb, and see what other kind of films they've made. And what those kind of look like. So mm-hmm.
I think I would sit probably about that 2.5-3 range. I mean, I'm not terribly upset that I watched it. It's still an hour and a half. I'm not getting back, but I mean, it's a horror movie about Winnie the Pooh. How do you not pull the trigger on that just to see what they do with it?
Right.
So for what it was, I think a 3 is generous. And yeah, yeah. I'll check out the sequel because, again, I want to see what they do with it. So. All right. Anything else? Any plugs that anybody wants to throw down before we burn out of here?
No, I'm trying to find other stuff this guy's made.
No plug, but again, going back to kind of what Patrick did on the last cast, jumping back in, kind of getting going again, podcasting, you know, just chatting it up with you guys and trying to figure out how to do this again. I think it's gonna be fun. So I'm sure we have better movies beyond Winnie the Pooh that will be chatted about.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, I'm just kind of looking forward to jumping back on the podcast and you know, talking shop with you guys.
Definitely.
I'll throw out a quick plug here. September 27, 28, and 29. If you are looking for something to do and are in the Lincoln/Omaha/Seward area, the 4th annual Flatwater Film Festival will be taking place at the historic Rivoli Theater, Seward, Nebraska. Rivoli Theater is boasting a brand new projector, and we are excited to see what that's going to do for them. And we are excited to see what films are coming in for the 4th installment of the Flatwater Film Festival. If you are a filmmaker, get your films to us. If it is affiliated with Nebraska, Flatwater Film Festival, check us out on Film Freeway. That's a lot of F's. we'll go from there. So yeah, Flatwater Film Festival, September 27, 28, and 29. For the Midnight Fright Cast, I am Greg. We have Patrick, Maddie, and Josh, and we are very excited. I'm really excited to be doing this again. Not only to get me watching some horror movies, which I have not done, but to chat with you fine folks again. And this is, it's chicken the rust off and trying to get back into it, but, I'm excited for what's to come. So let's watch some good movies. Let's do some good reviews and let's talk about the news. I don't know where that came from. So
no, new year, new me, no news.
No news. Yeah, I think I'm going to retire that one. So
news.
From all of us to all of you, we will catch you the next time around. Have a wonderful week.